Daniel chapter 6, verse number 1. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom, and over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, "We shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God." Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto him, "King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes and the counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. And O king, establish the decree and sign the writing that it may be not changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which altereth not." Wherefore King Darius signed the writing and decree. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. "Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions?" The king answered and said, "The thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not." Then answered they and said before the king, "That Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition three times a day." Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself, and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him, and he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men assembled unto the king, and said unto the king, "Know, O king, that the law of the Medes and Persians is that no decree nor statute that the king establisheth may be changed." Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'd help us, dear God, as Christians, dear Lord, to look up to and understand the importance of what Daniel did this day, and Lord, the necessity in our time, in our place, dear Lord, to do the same. Help us to be challenged by this great Bible hero. Thank you, Lord, for delivering Daniel from the den of lions. Lord, for shutting the mouth of the lions. Lord, thank you, dear God, that whether on earth or in heaven, Lord, in the end, doing right and being a child of God, it does pay off. And Lord, thank you, dear God, for what we're going to hear. Challenge us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Let me tell you the story for those of you that are not familiar with this story at all. Let me just tell you the story of the king of Babylon, the Babylonian nation, took into captivity the children of Israel. When they took them into captivity, they hand-selected some of the Israelite young men who were well-schooled and knowledgeable and wise, and they took them into the Babylonian culture and into the king's house with the purpose of retraining them and re-educating them into the ways of the Babylonians. And Daniel was part of that group. You remember how he purposed in chapter 1 not to defile himself with the king's meat. And so even though Daniel was in a heathen culture, he maintained his integrity and insisted on living by the laws of Almighty God. And so he did not compromise while he became trained, while he even ascended in importance in the Babylonian government. He never compromised his Christian convictions. And so we see that jealousy is involved because Darius notices Daniel and learns that he can trust Daniel because he is a child of God, because he does have integrity, and because he does have a work ethic, and because he does have an excellent spirit. the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Now, what he had up to this point was 120 princes and three presidents. And I'm assuming that the 120 princesses were divided into three groups, and each answering to one of the presidents, and the presidents to the king. But all of a sudden, word got around that, you know what, King Darius might take Daniel and put him over the whole kingdom. There won't be three presidents anymore. There'll be one main guy. And we can't let that happen, because in politics and amongst men, it seems like there's always jealousy when it comes to power. And so they began to devise a plan. They began to, if you will, they launched an investigation. I mean, they sent spies. They did everything they could to try to find anything that they could bring accusation against Daniel. I mean, maybe he cheated on his taxes. Maybe he beat his wife. Maybe there was something that he did. Maybe he had a gambling problem. I mean, there's got to be something that he's doing wrong. And yet, after the investigation was done, they said, you know what, we can find no fault. We can find no error in him. The only thing that we might have a chance to nail him on is that he is dedicated to the law. Watch this, the law of his God. He's dedicated to the Old Testament law. He still holds by and lives by the Old Testament law. He believes that what God in heaven wrote with his own finger on tablets of stone means something. And to Daniel, he will not compromise in those areas of his life. And so, they said, let's devise a plan. In the course of their spying on Daniel, they noticed that he did something every day, as a matter of fact, three times a day. He went up to his chamber, he went up to his apartment, and he went before the windows that opened towards Jerusalem, and he prayed. Well, I hope that if anybody ever did an investigation of my life, that the only fault they could find, if you want to call it a fault, was that, you know what, he prays. And maybe we can get him for praying. And so they devised this plan, and they appealed to the arrogancy and the ego of the king. And they said this, how about if we pass a statute and decree that nobody can ask any petition of anybody for 30 days. I mean, not a god or not man except you, O king, for 30 days. And if anybody does it, they'll be cast into a den of lions. And so Darius' ego was inflated. He thought, what a great idea. And so he signs this decree, not understanding that they were doing it to try to eliminate the man who Darius trusted the most in his own government. We see that later on when Darius realized what they were done, that he was sore displeased. But you know what? He was kind of caught. Because when he passed one of the laws of the Babylonian nation, is if a king signs a decree, you know what? It cannot be changed. And so they basically tricked the king in order to eliminate Daniel and have him killed. Now, that's the story. Now watch this. In verse number 10, the Bible says this, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed. And so, folks, let's stop there. Was Daniel unaware of the statute, unaware of the writing, unaware of this new law? No, he knew exactly what had been passed. He knew that the king had signed it. He knew what the consequences were. The Bible goes on to say this. He went into his house, watch this, and his windows being open in his chamber towards Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Now watch this. He goes up to his apartment, to his chamber. This is his private dwelling place. He goes over to the windows that are open towards Jerusalem where he prayed evening and morning and at noon. It was his custom. It was a discipline in his life. Three times a day, he knelt towards his homeland. He knelt towards the capital of his homeland. Even though he was in captivity in a strange world, strange land, he didn't want to forget home. He knelt towards Jerusalem and he prayed to the God of heaven. Now, let me ask you this. We saw the story. In many of our minds, you say, preacher, here's the story, but good night, I could come up with a solution. Daniel can still do what he has always done. He just needs to make one adjustment. Preacher, it's not that hard. I mean, I'm not asking him not to pray. I'm not asking him not to face Jerusalem. All he needed to do to avoid this situation, to not be in trouble with the king, to stay out of a den of lions, if all he had to do was close the shutters on the window. And it's done. He's still a good Christian. He's still praying. He's still being faithful to the law of God.
And you know what? He would have prevented this whole thing from happening if he just would have shut the window.
And the name of the message this morning is this: don't shut the window. Don't shut the window. Now, listen, I think he was human as me or you. I don't think he had a death wish. I don't think the whole idea of being cast into a den of lions had any appeal to him whatsoever. But you see, folks, watch this. Daniel was a child of God and a believer in God and a man dedicated to the law of God. And you know what? Watch this. He wasn't ashamed of it. And he saw absolutely no reason why he ought to hide his faith. Hide his faith. Now, watch this, folks. We saw the story, we saw the solution, and we saw him take a stand. You know what he did? He didn't go out in the middle of the street. He didn't still go in front of the king's palace. But you know what he did? He said, everything I've always done, I'm going to continue to do, and I refuse to do it behind closed doors and shut windows. Are you with me today? Are you there? Now watch this, folks. I want to encourage those of you that are born-again believers. And you know what? I know this idea of being a Christian has a broad terminology and a broad idea in this culture today, but I'm talking about those of you that are truly born-again. I mean, you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. I mean, you could, if I asked you, you could go back to a point in time on the timeline of your life and tell the story of how you fell under Holy Spirit conviction of sin and how you were drawn by the Father and you had a clear understanding of the gospel that Jesus died for your sins, was buried and rose again, and that you made a step of faith. In an act of faith, you chose to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And you know what? On that day, God saved you. He forgave you. He made you a child of God. I mean, you can go back and you can pinpoint that in your life and say, I got saved. I know I'm a child of God. Preacher, if I died right now, I'd have no fear of eternity. I know that I'd go to heaven based on the promises of God's Word. Now, a lot of people say they're Christians, but they've never been born again. It means when they say they're Christians, they figure, well, I'm not Muslim and I'm not an atheist, so I must be a Christian. And it's a broad term, but they've never truly been born again. Listen, if you're here today and that's your situation, I would encourage you to be born again. Okay? But I'm talking about people that are born again. I'm talking about people that are truly saved. Young men, this is for you as much as it is for the adults. Young people, sit up and listen to this. Watch this. Too many of us are shutting our windows. There's more and more there seems to be this idea in Christianity of, well, we can always believe what we ought to believe, but we just need to be quieter about it. We can always preach what we ought to preach, but preacher, what you need to do is also kind of tone it down a little bit. We need to change our terminology. We need to change our phrases. We need to repackage ourselves so that we're more palatable to the world. We just can't believe what we believe and do what we've always done with the windows wide open. And you know what? I'm sorry, but I buck up against that philosophy and that thought process. If Daniel is considered a Bible hero because he simply kept doing what he was doing with the windows open, then you know what, Blessed Hope Baptist Church, we need to keep doing what we've always done, and we need to do it with the windows open. With the windows open. And he said, preacher, why wouldn't he just make that small adjustment? I mean, I don't feel like it's that big of a compromise. Why would it be so wrong, so bad, to just shut the windows? Let me tell you why I believe he couldn't do that. Stay with me. Number one, it's because of his national heritage. His national heritage. You see, he wasn't from Babylon. He was from Israel. You know what? He wasn't a heathen. He was a child of God. And you know what? He had some allegiance to his nation. Let me remind those of you that need to be re-educated on this, that if you are a loyal American, your country was founded on Christian principles and you have a Christian heritage. You know what? We ought to let the Bible define patriotism. You know what the President George Washington, the father of our country, said? He said this, guard against the postures of pretended patriotism. And there's a lot of pretended patriotism going on today. There is true patriotism and there's pretended patriotism. Adlai Stevenson said this, patriotism is not a short, frenzied outburst of emotion, but the tranquil and steady dedication of a lifetime. Colonel William T. Coffey said the everyday practice of patriotism makes one a patriot. Abraham Lincoln said gold is good in its place, but living brave, patriotic men are better than gold. Now,
We need to let the Bible and we need to let history define what America is instead of letting people redefine who and what America is. George Washington said it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God. By the way, no mention of Allah. Almighty God. To obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and humbly to implore His protection and favor. Dwight D. Eisenhower said this, "The Bible is endorsed by the ages. Our civilization is built upon its words. In no other book is there such a collection of divine inspired wisdom." Am I a patriot? This can be answered by answering the question, is the God of the Bible your Lord? Is the God of the Bible your Lord? Abraham Lincoln said, "I believe the Bible is the best gift God has ever given to men. All the good from the Savior and of the world is communicated to us through this book." President Grover Cleveland said, all must admit that the reception of the teachings of Christ results in the purest patriotism and the most scrupulous fidelity to public trust and in the best type of citizenship. Patrick Henry said, "It cannot be emphasized too strongly or too often that this great nation was not founded by religionists, but by Christians. Not on religions, but on the gospel of Jesus Christ. For this very reason, people of other faiths have been afforded asylum and prosperity and freedom of worship." Ronald Reagan said this, "While never willing to bow to a tyrant, our forefathers were always willing to get to their knees before God." By the way, I'll bow to God, but I'm not going to bow to a tyrant. That's called patriotism. That's called patriotism. Now watch this. You know what? Daniel had a national heritage. Daniel was not a Babylonian. Daniel was an Israelite. He came from a people who believed that their loyalty and their allegiance were not to a government or a king, but to the Creator of the universe, the Lord of heaven, and the God of the Bible. The First Amendment, folks, of the Constitution of the United States, which has been so misappropriated and misinterpreted, says Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. Now, please explain in light of the first right in the First Amendment of the Constitution of the United States, the decisions that's coming down to the judicial system of our country today. Now watch this, folks. King Nebuchadnezzar made a law. Are you listening to me? King Darius made a law. King Darius signed a decree. King Darius made a statute. But you know what? It was in defiance to the law of God. And you know what? Daniel said, "I'm aware of it. Got it. Know it. Understand the consequences. Guess what I'm going to do? What I've always done. I'm going to open my windows, and I'm going to get on my knees, and I'm going to pray to God." You know why? Because I'm not from this country. I'm from some other country. Folks, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Yep, King Darius. Well, folks, King Obama has said some things about Christianity, too. Let me give you his own words on Christianity, and it's about time somebody just said this from the pulpit. We have a tyrant. Okay, we have somebody that thinks that his word ought to supersede the words of Almighty God. We've got a tyrant. Quotes on Christianity. "Whatever we once were, we are no longer a Christian nation." Okay? That's what your president said. "We do not consider ourselves a Christian nation," he said on another occasion. "Even those who claim the Bible's inerrancy make distinction between the scriptural edict sensing that some passages," listen to this, "some passages, the Ten Commandments, say, or a belief in Christ's divinity, are central to Christian faith, while others are more culturally specific and may be modified to accommodate modern life." Let it settle in on you. Yeah, there's a few parts of the Bible that are key and important, but there's a lot of it that we can modify to accommodate modern life. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. All Scripture.
from Obama's book, The Audacity of Hope. I am not willing to have the state deny American citizens a civil union that confers equivalent rights on such basic matters as hospital visitation or health insurance coverage simply because the people they love are of the same sex. Nor am I willing to accept a reading of the Bible that considers an obscure line in Romans to be more defining of Christianity than the Sermon on the Mount. There's no contradiction between the Sermon on the Mount and Romans chapter number 1. No contradiction at all. Obama's response when asked what his definition of sin is. Boy, this will help you. What is your definition of sin, Mr. President? Watch this. Being out of alignment with my values. That's his definition of sin. Not being out of alignment with God's commands. Not being out of alignment with biblical values. Being out of alignment with my values. That's your president. That's the president of the United States. Are you listening to me? Quotes on Christianity. Here's what he said also, direct quotes. If all it took to go to heaven was someone proclaiming, I believe Jesus Christ, that he died for my sins, and that was all there was to it, people wouldn't have to keep coming to church, would they? Okay. How come these quotes don't make the evening news? All right. Here's another quote, direct quote. There is something that I'm sure I'd have serious debates with my fellow Christians about. I think that the difficult thing about my religion, any religion, including Christianity, is that at some level there is a call to evangelize and proselyze. There's the belief, certainly in some quarters, that people who haven't embraced Jesus Christ as their personal Savior are going to hell. They are. How about this? I find it hard to believe that my God would consign 4/5 of the world to hell. I can't imagine that my God would allow some Hindu in India who never interacts with the Christian faith to somehow burn for all eternity. That's just not part of my religious makeup. That's our president. He said this, I've said this before, and I know, watch this, or listen, I've said this before, and I know this raises questions in the minds of some evangelicals. I do not believe that my mother, who never formally embraced Christianity, as far as I know, I do not believe she went to hell. There's a reason he believes that. Stay with me. He said this, we have Jews, Muslims, Hindus, atheists, agnostics, Buddhists, and their own path to grace is one that we have to all revere and respect as much as our own. What happened to Jesus' words where he said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And folks, it's important that you understand this. Say, preacher, you're disrespecting the President of the United States. No, I'm not. I am quoting the President of the United States. I'm quoting him. It's important that you understand the character of the man and the character of many who are making national policy in this nation. Well, he seems to have a very antagonistic, anti-view concerning Bible Christianity, but could I read you some of the quotes that he made concerning the Islam religion? Watch this. This is what he said about Islam. The future must not belong to those who slander the prophet of Islam. The sweetest sound I know is the Muslim call to prayer. We will convey our deep appreciation for the Islamic faith, which has done so much over the centuries to shape the world, including our own country. As a student of history, I also know civilization's debt to Islam. Islam has a proud tradition of tolerance. Ask the families who watch their loved ones be beheaded about tolerance. Islam has always been a part of America. Lie, lie, lie. We will encourage more Americans to study in Muslim communities. These rituals remind us of the principles that we hold in common, the Islam's role in advancing justice, progress, tolerance, and the dignity of all human beings. He said this, America and Islam are not exclusive and need not be in competition. Instead, they overlap and share common principles of justice and progress, tolerance, and the dignity of all human beings. He said this, Islam is not part of the problem in combating violent extremism, and is an important part of promoting peace. He also said this, throughout history, Islam has demonstrated through words and deeds the possibilities of religious tolerance and racial equality. Watch this. I look forward to hosting on dinner celebrating Ramadan here at the White House later this week, and wish you a blessed month. By the way, this is the same man that's canceled the National Day of Prayer for evangelical Christians for every year he's been in office. But he wants to bring the Muslims in and have prayer with them and a dinner with them celebrating their holiday of Ramadan. Say, pretty quiet in here. I know it's pretty quiet in here. Say, preacher, I don't know if this is Christian. Yeah, this is the Christianity that keeps the windows open. Okay, this is a church that's going to keep the windows open. Okay, how brainwashed have you become by the national media? Are you listening? Hey, is Jesus the only way or is He not the only way? Salvation only comes through Jesus Christ in His name, or is there many paths? Okay, how can a president be so anti-Christian and anti-advancing Christian principles and yet so pro-Islam? What I'm saying is this, Daniel remembered something. You know what he remembered? He remembered this. You know what? I'm not a Babylonian. He said, I'm an Israelite. Folks, listen to me. I'm not a Babylonian either. I'm an American. And I know what my American heritage is. And I know that we're a Christian nation and founded on Christian principles. And I'm not going to let somebody like Barack Obama steal that from us without some preachers getting in the pulpit. And you know what? Saying, hey, you got your voice. We're going to use our voice. So folks, listen to me. Watch this. I mean, King Obama's signing some decrees. You going to close your window? Well, preacher, I'm still going to be a believer, but we just got to tone it down. You're closing your windows. Preacher, we can believe what we believe, but you don't need to be saying this kind of stuff on a Sunday morning. You're closing your windows. You're closing your windows. Folks, listen, it's not time for Christians to hide. How about Queen Hillary? She's saying some interesting things. Yes, we've cut the maternal morality rate in half, as if she did it herself. But far too many women are still denied critical access to reproductive health care and safe childbirth, and laws don't count for much if they're not enforced. Rights have to exist in practice, not just on paper. Watch this. Laws have to be backed up with resources and political will. And deep-seated cultural codes, religious beliefs, and structural biases have to be changed. Well, Ms. Clinton, my deep-seated religious biblical beliefs are not going to be changed. You reach inside the safest place that ought to be on this planet, the womb of a mother, and you tear apart a little unborn baby and destroy that life, that's called murder. It's murder. Say, what are you doing, preacher? I'm opening the windows. Amen. Hey, listen, hey, some of you are pushing the windows closed. We ain't going to close them here, Blessed Old Baptist Church. Okay? She said this. Watch this. We move forward. We move forward as a nation. We move forward when gay and transgender women are embraced as colleagues and friends, not fired from their jobs because of whom they love. And by the way, folks, what we got to understand is this. There is a large contingency of leadership in this country that want to take the Bible principles and the Bible commands concerning the sin of homosexuality and throw them in the trash. And say, you know what, that part of the Bible don't mean something. It still means something to them. He first of all thought about his national heritage. Secondly, I think he thought about his biblical obligations. Maybe these words came to mind when he read that statue. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. For thou shalt not bow thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generations of them that hate. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. King Darius, even if it's for 30 days, you don't get to set yourself up as God.
to tell me that I cannot petition or pray or ask God for anything for 30 days. If I want something, I got to come to you instead of him? What in the world?
What did he do? Went up to his chamber. He opened his windows and he prayed.
How about this? Leviticus 26:1, ye shall make you no idols nor graven image, neither rear you up a standing image, neither shall you set up any image of stone in your land to bow down unto it, for I am the Lord your God. Now folks, listen to me. What I'm saying is this. Hey, American Christians. Hey, American Christians. You're going to start facing some things where what this book says is becoming the opposite of what the law says. And men passed laws, but God wrote the Bible. Okay, and King Darius comes along and says, you know what, you're not going to do this, or I'll throw you in the lion's den. And Daniel says, you know what, it's morning, it's noon, it's evening, guess what I'm going to do? I'm opening the windows, I'm bowing down, and I'm praying to the God of heaven. You know why? Because maybe he remembered these words, evening and morning and at noon will I pray. And you know what he decided he was going to do? Okay, this piece of paper is written by man and signed by a man. This book is written by God, and it was written by the finger of God. I think I'm going to obey this no matter what the consequences are. What are you doing, preacher? I'm trying to encourage some Christians that need some encouragement today, folks. There's some crazy things going on in our country. And you know what? We need to stop bowing down and closing the windows and hiding out. We need to get our voices uplifted and strong and stand where we've always stood and not give one inch. Say, preacher, man alive, are you sure this is in the Bible? You come see me if you have any doubt. You need to decide whether you're going to bow to the culture and change according to the political correctness of the culture, or whether you're going to be a Bible-believing Christian and stand where the Bible stands on these issues. Hey, just open the window up a little bit. For those of you that are fairly new here, I hope you're breathing deeply right now. Amen. By the way, I hope that you're glad that you found a church where somebody's got some courage to say some things. His biblical obligations, his personal relationship. I think he thought about his personal relationship. You know what? I think this idea came to Daniel. A whole month without spending time with God? It wasn't a matter of just a law and defying a law. It wasn't even just a matter of obeying a principle in the Bible or command in the Bible. It was a matter of a personal relationship. And I think, you know what Daniel thought? He thought this, you know what, King, you've put me in a position of importance and authority. I'm one of the three presidents, and I'm the highest of all three presidents. And you know what? I could not do this for 30 days without going to that window and bowing down and getting the God of the universe to help me. Now, what I'm saying is this, folks, you know what? We need to take some things into account. He thought about his national heritage, his biblical obligation, his personal relationship, his shining example. I don't know if he thought of this or not, but I'm going to go ahead and throw it in there. Every generation needs heroes of the faith, men and women with strong convictions. People who will say, you know what, it is better to obey God than man. No matter what the consequences are, you know what, I know what the Bible says. And you know what? Man can command this, but if God says different, you know what? It's better to obey God than man. And you know what? Whatever the consequences are, we'll just suffer the consequences. But you know what? We're not going to change and we're not going to shut our windows. I want to take a minute and say publicly how proud I am of Kim Davis, the clerk of Roland County, Kentucky. God bless this lady. She's a modern-day Daniel. She had a modern-day chance to close the window and pray in secret. She left the window open and decided to defy the Supreme Court, who overstepped its boundaries once again. They have kind of a track record of this, if you haven't noticed. 1960s, you can't pray in school. What? Christian teachers, every Christian teacher in America should have walked into their class the next day, thrown the windows open, and led in prayer. But you know what? Love of money is the root of all evil. You know what they did? Well, I'll pray, but I won't do it out loud. You know what they did? They closed their windows. Well, I'm still doing it. I know. You closed your windows. You closed your windows. 1973, Supreme Court, in another brilliant moment, decided to legalize the murder of unborn babies. All right? The judicial branch of government was never put in place to create law. Never. And yet, you know what? Abortion was not and is not legal because a legislative branch introduced a law and it voted through and was signed by the executive branch. We never had that opportunity. So all we've got to do is we've got to point into seats of power in our judicial system extremist judges who aren't interested in interpreting the Constitution properly or upholding justice or the law, but just advancing a radical agenda that destroys the freedoms of America, not ensures the freedoms of America. And folks, it's happening over and over and over and over again. And you know what Christians for the most part have done? Well, if that's the way it is, we'll just shut our windows. Oh, here's another window we've got to shut. Here's another window we've got to shut. Here's another window we've got to shut. And pretty soon, you know what? We're in an empty room by ourselves making no impact on this world for the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, it's time to kick the windows open. Time to open the window. Well, I haven't changed. You did if you closed the window. Well, I'm still praying. It's not the same with the windows closed. But preacher, it could be the lion's den. Didn't you read what the statue wrote? So what? Watch this, folks. All through Christian history, men and women have had to suffer at the hand of tyrants and anti-Christian governments for simply standing for their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. They've had to do it. Why do you think we get a pass? Why do you think it's going to be different for us? Young people, I'm preparing you for a new America. If you're going to be a Christian and a Bible believer and stand for this book, you know what you're going to face? You're going to face real-time persecution. But you know what? Let it come. Let it come. This is what, and I'll close with this, Mrs. Davis said. Watch this. She was told she had to issue marriage licenses to sodomites. She said, I'm not going to do that. Here's what she said. I've weighed the cost, and I'm prepared to go to jail. I'm sure of that. This has never been a gay or lesbian issue for me. This is about upholding the Word of God. This is a heaven or hell issue for me and for every other Christian that believes. This is a fight worth fighting. I'm very steadfast in what I believe. I don't leave my conscience and my Christian soul out in my vehicle and come in here and pretend to be something I'm not. It's easy to talk the talk, but can you walk the walk? And I don't know about you men, but I feel like we just got called out by a woman. And is it going to have to be women in America that have the guts to stand up? Where's the men? I don't believe she was the only Christian county clerk in the United States of America. I'm sure there was a lot of men that were. You know what they did? Closed their windows. Yeah, but the law is the law. Is that Daniel's attitude? Was that Daniel's attitude? Well, since it's the law, I just won't pray for 30 days. Well, I'll do it, but I'm going to sneak and hide and maybe I'll crawl under my bed and do it for the next 30. You coward. You coward. Say, preacher, what are you doing? I'm taking this moment, this time in history, and saying to Christians, if we don't stand up now, if we keep surrendering what we're surrendering, there's going to be nothing left for these kids up here. Nothing left for these kids up here. So in your circle of influence, wherever you are, you may not be a county clerk, but in your circle of influence, you have a responsibility to stand for the principles and precepts of this Bible and refuse to close your windows. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this opportunity, Lord, to bring the Word of God. And I pray, dear God, that we would take the example of Daniel. Lord, help us not to begin to justify a cowardly brand of Christianity. Lord, may we make up our minds on some things. Let God be true and every man a liar. It is better to obey God than man. Lord, I pray, dear Lord, that we would have some truly heroic Christians, men and women, in these last days to stand up, dear God, against the influence and the wickedness, dear God, of the heathenism and the humanism, dear God, that seems like it's running rampant through our nation, Lord. I pray for our president. I pray that he'd come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that he'd be saved, dear God. I pray for his wife to be saved, his children to be saved, Lord. wish any ill to the prisoner. I wish for him to be converted. But dear God, Lord, please. I pray, Lord, if he will not, and other politicians will not stand, dear God, for the America that they were handed, and Lord, that you would remove them from office, put people in, dear God, that will stand up for the principles and precepts of the Word of God and for the United States Constitution, Lord. I pray that you'd help our country, dear God. We're in dire straits. Lord, we need a revival. May it start in the house of God. May it start here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. We pray in Jesus' name.